Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast about Lena Dunham. I'm your host, Parker Bowman, joined as always by Jason Razor Babes Frisbabe. How you doing, hey. Mr. Frisbabe?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Before we get into anything, I'd like to point out that you can go to poolpartyradio.com and find all our episodes, and you can subscribe on iTunes and give us ratings and reviews because that helps a lot. And you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio, and email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Any and all of those things are wildly appreciated and needed so that we don't commit suicide.
That would be, that's our number one goal.
That is, well, that's my number two goal. First, I want to get all the achievements in Fallout New Vegas, and then I don't want to kill myself.
Right.
Although, if I do the first one, then the latter is just sure to follow suit.
Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah. I've already seen Tom Waits and David Bowie live, so I've been ready to kill myself for a long time.
Yeah, you're living on borrowed time at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I breathe the same air as those guys, so I'm good. dirt nap it is.
Yeah.
But yeah. And don't forget the Twitterverse, too, at Pool Party Radio.
Yeah, we're on there. But as I was saying, Lena Dunham, love her. I've been watching this show Girls on HBO, and man, it's good. It's good stuff.
I've never seen an episode of Girls. I do not have HBO. I'm one of those kids.
One of those people.
One of those indulge me a bit with the plot.
It's about
all I know is, hold on, all I know is that this show is purported to be, like, really awful by some people and really great for people who are, like, who have been sticking with it.
Yeah, I watched the first episode when it first aired, and I was like, yeah, this is all right, but, you know, what am I going to do? Keep watching it? Forget that. I haven't even seen all of The Wire yet. And then I read that Bret Easton Ellis really likes the show, and I said, well, I'm in. I'm gonna watch all of this show, and it's tremendous. It's very Bret Easton Ellis-y. It's like a lot of things that seem to be popping up these days. It seems to have a lot of Bret Easton Ellis influence in it, where you know these are like vapid, relatively vapid characters that are mostly unlikable. Just kind of doing things that people do when they don't have to worry about life too much. And, that seems to be popping up. You know, there's a lot of Bret Easton Ellis-y things popping up. This and that Greenberg movie I thought was very Bret Easton Ellis-y. And, of course, Dexter is very Bret Easton Ellis-y. Skins, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, this is mostly just about four girls living in New York and, trying to wade through hipsterdom to become grown-ups, more or less. And it's very good. There's a lot of, like, depraved things going on. There's a lot of slackery, Richard Linklater-esque things going on. There's no real plot to it or anything. It's just these people living their lives. And there's no message or Doogie Howser-like writing in a diary at the end, like some stupid stuff like Sex and the City. No moral obligation here on behalf of this show to teach you a lesson. I like that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a sitcom trope that, I mean, it's surprising that kind of got involved with, like, Sex and the City and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I always thought that was really weird. Like, that show's, like, not too bad, Sex and the City, but it's, like, so weird and antiquated anytime, like, and, you know, especially for, like, a show like that, people are like, oh, this Sex and the City, it's edgy. It's edgy. It'll cut you. It's an edgy show. And then every episode just ended like Doogie Howser, where, like, they all learn lessons and they become better people at the end and all this silly muck.
Yeah, that is silly. But it happens. It's a lot like How I Met Your Mother, too. They do that on that show a couple times.
Yeah, they're always learning lessons. I haven't watched that show. The last two seasons of it, I've given up on it.
It's supposed to be the last season coming up. Ooh. But Girls is on its second season.
The second season starts in January. I haven't finished this first season, though. I got two episodes left to go. Mm. And I'll probably finish those tonight. I've watched them all in, like, the last 3 days or something. It's tremendous. It's good stuff.
It sounds really engaging. Like, I was going to ask if it was funny or dramatic, but when you compare it to, like, when you compare anything to Bryce and Ellis, I think engaging is the word that comes to mind for me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's parts of, like, American Psycho, depending on your own background and how you read it, it's going to be funny. To other people, it's just going to be really depraved and weird, but regardless, it's going to be engaging.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in this. Like, depending on who you are, like, a lot of things in this that make me laugh might either make somebody else angry or make them sad or, you know, vice versa. And that's, you know, what I like about Bret Easton Ellis, and there's a lot of that in this show. Like, you know, if you, like, it's the kind of show, like, if you watched it, like, in a good mood, you'd probably laugh all the way through it. But if you watched it when you were depressed, you would probably cry all the way through it, like, at all the same parts. But there's a lot of funny people in it. I think,
yeah, Lena Dunham is funny.
Yeah, she's good. Horatio Sanz was in one episode for, like, a brief moment.
Nice.
What's his face? Mike Birbiglia was in it for a moment.
This show has all the right things. I need to be watching this show now.
Yeah, it's got a good cast, and a lot of, like, cool people pop up. One of the Lonely Island guys was there for a moment in one episode. Right on. So, yeah, good stuff. And, you know, a good cast. I like it. It's got my stamp of approval.
Well, it sounds like you're watching something very adult, and I am not doing that. I'm still watching cartoons. Gravity Falls started up with another episode on Friday. It was this arcade-inspired thing. The guy who did the artwork for the Scott Pilgrim versus the World video game for Xbox Arcade.
Nice. Which is superior to the comic books art, because that comic book art sucks.
Yeah, this was, it was very classic, kind of like River City Ransom. Well, it didn't look like River City Ransom. The game was like River City Ransom, where you like collect coins and such.
Well, it looked like River City Ransom if River City Ransom was like a new game. Like it was that same sort of cartoony stuff, but just...
Right. He's got a very distinctive style. He did a short film called Pirate Baby that is almost like a complete updated version of River City Ransom, but with zombies and elaborate screen-wide clearing moves and stuff like that, a lot of pop culture references. And he did a couple... He did a music video for Architecture in Helsinki years ago for Do the Whirlwind. I really like this guy's stuff. I've been following him for a while. So it was neat to see him do, like, part of an animated show for a 30-minute block. It was very, very funny. They ripped on Street Fighter 2 and like, side-scrolling action-adventure games. Like, this character comes out of a video game, and in order to pick up objects, he has to have them placed on the floor in front of him, and he has to kneel down in front of it. It was pretty clever. And then he starts chasing people down the street, and he's, like, collecting a pipe off the street to hit somebody. And they tell him, let go of the pipe. Don't use that pipe to hit anyone. He's like, okay. And he drops it. Then he finds a sword laying on the ground in front of him. Like, what kind of street is this? Why are there so many dangerous objects here?
Yeah.
Where'd you find this? He's like, I punched an oil can.
I need to watch that show more. Though, I'm on Tumblr, and I'm getting gifs of it, like, every 10 items. So I feel like I'm pretty abreast of the show, but I haven't actually watched the show itself.
Well, that's how you know it's something good when Tumblr is advocating it through multiple GIFs.
Or
so many GIFs you can't even...
If it's, like, very apparent on Tumblr, like, very present on Tumblr, it's either super good or super evil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess it could go either way. But going back to Girls really quick, we were talking about the how engaging it is to some people and how some people might find it certain scenes funny and others would find it really depraved and... or unnecessary or weird, whatever, however they might take it in. And that's the only thing I've known about Girls recently is from Onion AV Club articles describing how divisive the show is. There's a lot of people who find it to be misogynistic or think it's hurting women more than helping. And there are others who are saying that, like, people are obviously not looking at the project as a whole, or they're ignoring some of the subtext that should be appearing in the show. I haven't seen an episode yet, so I'm anxious to check it out now, especially with the cast, but also to see like what my reaction is to it.
Yeah, I think it's you know, the people who say like that the show is like misogynistic or like it portrays women badly are the most misogynistic people. Like, if you can watch a show about four girls and their act, and you can think that their actions represent all of girls, then possibly you're the misogynist. If you don't think that these girls are fitting into the box that you want to put girls into, then maybe you're in the wrong here. Not Lena Dunham and her cast and crew. They're just telling their stories, and if that doesn't match up with your idea of what their stories should be, then you're a dickhead.
Do you think that it maybe has to do with the title being so broad? Like, it's girls, so people are interpreting it as all girls, or any girls.
That's these girls.
Yeah.
I mean,
Do you think it's doing a disservice because people need to be more specific and derogatory, like two broke girls?
No, I don't. I mean, that's silly. I mean, things are named all sorts of things. You know, those people on Lost, they weren't really fucking lost. And they don't represent every single person who's ever been lost. So fuck off. That's silly.
I'd like to point out that I just don't like two broke girls. I like the actresses in it, and I think all the actors mean well, but that show fucking sucks. The goal for the two broke girls is to start a cupcake business. Like, they were raising money to start a cupcake business, and that's just so played out. To me, it is. Like, my criticism is, why aren't they becoming, like, going back to school or trying to become scientists or doctors or something? Like, they're not trying to breach into a male-dominated field. They're just like, well, we're broke. Let's start a cupcake business. That'll cure the brokenness.
Oh, crap. Hold on. Somebody's at my door. I'll be right back.
Intermission.
All right, you there?
Yeah, that kid sounded like a 35-year-old salesman in an 8-year-old's body.
Yeah, I'm so mad that I pushed the pause button on the record thing.
That was crystal clear. Like, that kid was just fucking hell, man.
Maybe it'll show up on the Skype recording. Yeah, I'll try to the Skype recording later. Maybe we can put that in there somewhere. But yeah, dude, like, fuck you. I know you're fucking 12 years old. I know you've ridden a goddamn roller coaster. You don't need to lie to me.
Yeah, exactly. What a fucking bogus sales pitch.
And then when I didn't buy his stuff, he asked for his newspaper back.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to read that, sir? Goddamn. He sounded like, who the fuck is it? Kind of like Shirley Temple or something. Like, is everybody an actor out in California?
I guess so.
That is insanity to me. Just listening in on that. And then Kepi's barking was so great. You handled it with such a plum, though. Like, I would have just been totally disparate and been like, no, no one reads the newspaper. I have the internet.
Yeah. I felt real bad when he asked me for, like, pennies and quarters and stuff. Because, like, right on my shelf right next to me, like, I could have, like, literally lifted my hand and pulled out, like, $12 in quarters for him. But...
yeah.
Fucking, like, well, you know, I think he was so good at that because, like, everybody in California, it seems, like, 90% of the people who live here, their job is to go door to door for something. I've never, like, I mean, I've lived in, like, basically, like, downtown Dayton, where you'd think there'd be hustle and bustle. And I've never lived in some place where more people come to your fucking door for asinine reasons than living here. Like, I mean, it seems like every other day somebody's knocking on my door trying to get me to go to church, trying to get me to join this church, trying to get me to follow Jehovah, trying to get me to buy some 12-ounce ribeye steaks, trying to get me to buy a bicycle, like all kinds of dumb shit. Like, people are just constantly fucking bugging people around here.
That's nuts, man. But yeah, as far as like random-ass kid goes, that was fucking crazy.
Yeah, dude. That kid, man, he must have been doing that for like 8 years.
So, yeah, he had that sales pitch down, man. My first roller coaster,
I mean, fuck you. I know you've ridden a roller coaster, man. There's like eight amusement parks. We live right next to LA, son. Like, I know you've been on a roller coaster. We got Magic Mountain there, man. We got like 8 Disney Worlds.
Yeah, he said Universal Studios. He's probably been there like 5 times already.
Probably.
This year, you know?
Yeah. I hate these goddamn people who like knock on the door and try to sell me shit because I'm holding Snarf, and Snarf, his whole goal in life is to get out of the house. Yeah. And so I'm holding Snarf, and he's like trying to get away, and he's like cutting me up, and I'm like starting to like bleed profusely from trying to hold on to this 20-pound cat that's like just cutting into my flesh, and they don't care. They just keep on with their fucking spiel. Let me sell you. Here's a newspaper. I got a newspaper. Do you want to buy this newspaper that you could easily get for 50 cents at the corner store? Let me give it to you. What? Oh, you're bleeding profusely and you're in a lot of pain. Well, I don't care. I got to ride a roller coaster. I don't care.
Got to ride a roller coaster.
I'm this tall to ride. Motherfuckers. Anyway, so there's 2 broke girls. You're upset that they're not trying to do anything important.
Exactly. I mean, don't misunderstand me. A cupcake place is awesome, but also a cupcake place in Manhattan, which is where they're supposed to be living, is a dime a fucking dozen.
That's true.
And the best one is, what is it, Magnolia's?
Mm-hmm.
We ravaged that place when we were there.
That place was so good. The second time, or the third time I went there, I spent like fucking all day looking for that place because I, you know, this was before I had like a smartphone. This was before smartphones mostly. So I couldn't find it again because we went there when we went to New York.
Yeah.
But I went back and man, I was walking around all day. Couldn't find it. I guess I could have asked somebody. They probably would have known, but then they would know that like, you know, I wasn't from there and I can't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always awkward. One of the times I went to New York, it's actually back in 2001, like, I think late August or something.
Well, late August, you were, 2001, you were in New York, huh? Maybe you were, casing the place, scoping the place out for any lapses in security, any weak spots, huh, Mr. Frisbee?
Maybe, but all I found was, like, a lot of road construction and intolerable heat. My dad and I were there just checking it out, and I ended up trying to find a comic book store downtown. I think it was called like Gotham City Comics or Uptown Comics, something like that.
Midtown Comics.
Midtown Comics. That is the one.
They are great.
They are fantastic. And on the second story, and we could not find them. So we're like, this is around, it's near Times Square, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to find it. This is our last day there, so we had our bags with us. It's just like, you know, one carry-on sort of thing, but we're looking around, and it's that moment where you're obviously, your tourist hat is clearly on. You're just staring up at buildings and not moving.
Yeah.
And this, people are, like, walking past and everything, and there's a lot of construction, kind of cramped up. This dude, just like a white t-shirt and jeans and, you know, mustache, probably like mid-30s or something, just classic, like, New Yorker guy, is talking with one of his friends. They're both leaning up against the building. And I hear him say, oh, hold on a second. Yo, you guys looking for that comic book store? And we're like, yeah, we are. And he goes, it's right around this corner. There's a sign up at the doorway. Can't miss it. And sure enough, there was like a Spider-Man sign right around the corner that we just weren't looking for. And I was like, gee whiz, thanks, mister. And that was it. It was the nicest interaction.
Yeah, he knew that he was well aware. It was the time when Marvel was just putting out the Ultimate Universe stuff, so he knew there was some heavy, there was a heavy flow of people looking for that comic book store to get that Ultimate Spider-Man number one.
Yeah, it must have been. The thing is, I wasn't even that much of a dork looking back then. I was not so dorkly as I, well, maybe I was. Maybe that's what the giveaway was. Like, I didn't think I looked like a dork, but clearly this guy up against the building, I was a dork.
This was back when you had your leather jacket and your mohawk and your tattoo of cobra, your sleeve of cobra tattoos and stuff.
Yeah, way back when I thought I was hip.
Speaking of which, I saw a guy with that Shelby Cobra's shirt that you have, your Shelby Cobra's shirt.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I went to this fair. And I was like, oh, that guy's either a big pool party fan or an illogical contraption fan. That's nice of him to sport that.
Yeah, he also shops at Target then.
Yeah,
Target.
Yeah, I actually saw that shirt at Target the other day, and I considered buying it.
It's a very comfortable shirt. It's the most comfortable shirt I own.
It was, yeah.
I mean, but it's also the one that sells out the most. I had to go to 3 Targets to find that shirt for that picture. And I'm so glad I did, because it's the nicest shirt I have.
Yeah, it
nicest
seemed
T-shirt.
It seemed pretty soft. I was going to buy it, but then I found a shirt with Kelly Kapowski on it instead, so I bought that.
You made a wise choice.
Yeah, I know. I was sad they didn't have any Slater shirts, though.
28 Days Slater shirts?
Mm-hmm. Somebody needed to turn up the AC in there, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you, Preppy.
But yeah, I went to this festival. It was pretty pretty fun. The big county fair.
And no kidding.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was excited to find out. You know, I worked at a newspaper for a long time, and every year we would have to do, like, fair stuff. And, you know, like, I've been to, like, the Dayton Fair, Dayton County Fair, whatever they call it, Montgomery County.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it always, like, they would always close at, like, 8 or 9. Like, pretty much, you know, anytime, like, it was definitively dark, it would close down. And I was pleased to find out that the festivals here don't close until, like, midnight or something. Which makes a lot of sense, considering people mostly want to go at night, because during the day it's 110 degrees, and, you know, all the old, overweight people who would go will probably die. So, I was really pleased to find that out, because I like the nightlife. I like to boogie.
On the disco ride!
Yeah, they, there was the first thing I saw when we entered was, like, this big booth, like, for people trying to disseminate, like, Republican Party literature. And mm-hmm. I was, like, really mad because they had this big sign for this guy, Devin Nunez, who I...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't stand this guy. He's, like, the congressman out here. And he ran unopposed last year or 2 years ago. And so I voted for Dr. Drew instead. And
it's a wise vote.
Yeah, I actually tweeted Dr. Drew about it, and he retweeted it, which is probably the best day of my life, to be honest with you. I like Dr. Drew. And so I was really upset, and I kind of wanted to leave because that guy, his whole thing – well, maybe not his whole thing, but a big part of his policies are that he wants to open up the Sequoia National Forest for people to cut down the trees and make paper out of them, out of these 2,000-year-old trees that are taller than skyscrapers. He wants to turn them into paper. And I like paper, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of other trees you can do it to.
Yeah, a reasonable request.
Yeah.
It's like, let's count down one of the only things California is known for in nature.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the only thing, but fuck all, man. Like, why go for that?
Yeah, it's like the best thing. And, you know, we got going on over here. And, yeah, I mean, other than Nosferatu, these things are the oldest living things on Earth, literally. And he wants to cut them down and do some old bullshit with them. Fuck this
That's
guy.
Hilarious.
He's the worst guy.
He's a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah.
For sure. So they were trying to distribute literature, like, get rid of the Sequoias.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it was like a lot of stuff, like, hey, check him out. You know, vote for him and vote for other Republican dudes and blah. And it was really weird because, like, there was, like, the Republican booth and the Democrat booth, you know, where, like, people were like, hey, check it out. You know, vote for our dudes. And, and I was, like, looking around. I was like, well, is there any, like, Green Party stuff or, like, Libertarian Party stuff or, like, even Constitution Party stuff? Even those guys, like, those guys are kind of dickheads, but maybe those guys are here. And the only other booth they had for politics was the Tea Party booth, which I thought that the Tea Party booth was pretty well entwined with the Republican booth, but apparently not. Apparently that is a whole other thing these days.
Yeah, anymore it's almost like an Occupy thing. In fact, I remember reading about, like, Occupy and Tea Partiers meeting together and at, like, multiple points in these town hall things. Like, I think we're actually going towards the same thing here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those guys are very much just the same guys. Like, they want government out of business. Like,
yeah.
I mean, kind of for different reasons. Like, one side vilifies the one and the other side vilifies the other. But basically, they want the same thing, which was always very hilarious to me, like, last year when the Occupy thing started.
But how was the festival otherwise?
Oh, it was pretty good. They had this weird thing, though. In between two buildings, like, away from all the main attractions, there was only, like, one guy looking at it. They had, one of the girders from the Twin Towers, like, you know, that got beat up on 9/11. And I thought that was a really weird thing to have, like, I mean, you could just have, like, a picture or something, like, to elicit the same emotion. I mean, I guess that's what they were trying to do, is, like, elicit an emotion and elicit, like, some sort of pride from people who wanted to see that sort of thing. I don't know why you need to bring something that weighs 3 tons 4,000 miles away. It seems like kind of a waste of resources in this day and age where we're talking about how we have no oil and how cars are bad. I thought that was kind of weird, but, you know, it was still kind of a wasted thing because nobody really cared. They were all checking out the Gwen Stefani cover band.
Oh, right on. How was that?
It was all right. Gwen Stefani, I was like, Gwen Stefani cover band? What are they going to do? Do I'm Just a Girl and then do the Bananas song? Like, they only got 2 songs? But it turns out Gwen Stefani has a lot of songs.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I guess I didn't realize that. But
they do Sunday Morning. That's the best Gwen Stefani song.
That's a good one. I like Excuse Me, Mister. That was a fine song. That's No Doubt, though, I guess. But yeah, and yeah, and then once they got through all the hits, they just did them over. So I thought that was kind of funny.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, it was fine. And I played with all the pygmy goats. They were just so cute. I just love them so much. I love looking at them.
Tiny goats.
They're like goats, but miniature. They're fucking the cutest things on earth.
That's adorable. Yeah, see, there's so much more stuff going on than a steel girder from the towers.
Yeah,
I wonder if that was just brought there to sort of quell any, like, 9/11 was an inside job conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, that could be it. I mean, they did it. They did put it suspiciously close to the Tea Partiers.
Yeah, it's like, check it out. How can we melt through these beforehand?
Yeah,
I don't know.
And then they at some point they actively tried to cover up the part in the beam where it was welded in to say place explosives here for inside job.
Exactly. For inside job.
Yeah.
With plastic explosives. Yeah.
And yeah, it was, they had like a lot of crazy food and stuff, which I was excited for. I pride myself on being a man who likes to taste all the regional different kinds of hot dogs, you know?
Yeah.
Like I've had a New York dog, you know, I got the Chicago dog, you know, all these different kinds of dogs. I'm not fucking around with that sauerkraut though. I don't give a fuck. I just don't care about sauerkraut. I don't care where you're from. I'm not trying your sauerkraut dogs. But I stumbled upon a Sonoran dog. And I like the Sonoran desert. It's very pretty. So I figured I'd try their dog. Didn't care for it too much though. They're throwing mayonnaise on there, and, you know, well, I mean, it starts out strong. It's a hot dog wrapped in bacon. Starts out real good. And then they're throwing, you know, some jalapenos on there. That's good. And then they're throwing some beans on there, like some refried beans, and that didn't turn out too well on a hot dog. And then they're throwing the mayonnaise on there, and it kind of gets, you know.
Sounds like some goofy-ass nonsense.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So I wasn't too into that. I wish I would have got, you know, one of the billion tacos that were there, as they were probably pretty good. I did have the best horchata I've ever had in my life. Horchata, if you're unaware, is it's basically the drink that God would drink if God were real.
It is delicious. It's like a rice milk sort of thing with lots of cinnamon in it.
Yeah, it's basically rice and cinnamon, which are like the two best foods.
Mm-hmm.
And just fucking delicious. And, you know, usually I'm drinking it, you know, like just around, every once in a while, like one of these grocery stores, like corner grocery stores, make their own and it's really good. But usually I'm getting it, you know, out of the bottles and stuff, and it's like not that great. But these people at this market, or at this festival, I guess, they went above and beyond because they would pour the stuff and then they added like 7 scoops of cinnamon. Like this, it almost became beautiful. A solid. It was just great.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, I haven't had horchata for a while. But there's a place in Dayton, Taqueria Mixteca, and they had like it almost looked like one of those high C fountain drinks, like the see-through container on the top. And you could see like constantly being mixed,
mm-hmm.
almost like a slushy machine. But it was for horchata, so you get like horchata like that, and ooh, God, it was delicious.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's the best thing. If you haven't had it, you have to go to like a taqueria nearby, like some Mexican restaurant, just get the horchata.
Ask them. Demand it if they don't have it.
Yeah. Make it at my table like you would guacamole.
Yeah, so that's basically what the festival entailed for me, is like looking at all these different foods and wishing that I had chosen those over the Sonoran hot dog.
That sucks, man. Yeah, a bummer hot dog is, let's face it, it's irrevocable. You need to replan your day to make up for that bum hot dog.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like the kind of place where, like, no matter what I would have picked, I probably would have longed for something else. I mean, there was like guys like cooking entire horses on the side there and like slathering them in barbecue sauce. So that probably would have been pretty good.
It's a meal of kings.
Yeah, the horse was still crying. That's what I like in a meal.
Horse tears.
Yeah. And there was like,
and
yeah, just good stuff. Good stuff. It was fun. I saw a lot of, I came up with this new slang term for elderly Hispanic dudes who are in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
I call them Hector Salamancas now.
Beautiful.
And
it's a great Breaking Bad reference.
Yeah, and it was a weird thing. Like, I think I've seen like one dude in a wheelchair my entire life, like living in Ohio. But out here, I would say a good 20% of the people are in wheelchairs. I don't understand at all how that is.
You mentioned also that like 20% of people. Sorry, you didn't say 20% of people at all. You said that when the temperature goes down is a time when people would want to go to the festivals because if you're, in your words, elderly or fatter, that would be the time you want to come out, not when you're, like, obese and in the heat.
Yeah.
So you're also saying that there are heavier set people in California.
Yeah. There's a few chubbies. I mean, even if you're in tip-top shape, though, you don't want to go to the festival in the desert at high noon because you're going to die. I mean, it's rough out here.
Gotcha. No, I was just pointing towards the fact that, like, every person I've met who's lived in California or is from California seems to believe that no one is overweight in California.
Not like, true at all.
That's the elitism of body shape and design.
Yeah,
design.
No.
Yeah, body shape that takes hold. Like, oh, there's fat people everywhere but here.
Yeah.
I mean, sure there's big people everywhere.
Yeah, there's a lot of chubby people out here. A lot of overweight people. I mean, they got those, they're selling the Sonoran dog and, you know, the cooked horse, for God's sake. You're going to gain a few pounds. There's good food out here.
Have you ever had cooked horse?
No.
I did. Do you want to guess where I had cooked horse?
Was it after the apocalypse?
No.
Oh. Was it in Texas?
It wasn't on Planet Hoth either. No, it wasn't in Texas.
Oh. I don't know.
This was overseas. I could have had it in Japan, but the only time I've had cooked horse was in France.
Oh yeah, those French. They'll eat anything. They're freaks.
You got that right.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
Weird.
That is weird that Europeans are pretty cool with eating horses.
Yeah, they're very cool about it too. It was delicious.
How'd they sell you on it?
They just put it in front of me. They didn't tell me about it at all. It was at a hotel that we were staying at.
These sons of bitches.
Just like, you'll eat anything. And they also, I was sitting next to a girl that I was in class with, and we were just chatting about, you know, what we have to do for the day, what we're going to be doing that day. And she had her feet kind of up, resting on the lounge couch sort of seat that we were sitting on. And, you know, she's kind of doing that position where it's like she's more resting on her knees on this couch, kind of leaning in, talking, like twirling her hair, and her feet were just, you know, they were up on the seat as a result. So she ends up getting whacked by one of the staff members. He, like, has this rolled up paper and, like, hits her feet. He's like, no shoes. No shoes on the couch. And, yeah, he's chastising her. Like, she was his own daughter in his home. What are you doing putting your feet up on the couch like this?
I like this.
He was trying to get rid of rudeness.
Yeah, I don't like.
Meanwhile, like, nobody wore body deodorant, so take what you can get, I guess.
Yeah. I do like the idea of teaching people not to put their goddamn shoes on your couch. I bought a couch this one time. I was very proud of it. It was a very light color. People would just come over, just rub their feet right into the couch. These sons of bitches. There's couches for that. If you've got a plaid couch, go ahead. I don't care how new it is. If it's plaid, you're allowed to rub your feet on it and wipe your feet off on the couch. Anything other than plaid, though, keep your goddamn feet off the couch.
Now, is this something that chaser he did in the back when he was a guest at your home.
Not so much a guest as an intruder.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he would do that. He would just wipe his gut. Well, I think he slept in his boots because he's a fucking freak. He would, like, take, you know, like, those older couches, how they have, like, those little cloths that go on the armrest.
Mm-hmm, the little doily rest.
Yeah, for some reason they have that. He would take those and, like, wipe off, you know, his butt cheeks and his armpits and stuff. Real gross stuff.
So gross.
Yeah, so before we get into this lightning round, since we're knee-deep, we're balls-deep into this episode, I wanted to make a big announcement. We've got, as always, we've got intern John Brown. Robo John Brown is here. How you doing there, Robo John Brown?
Hallelujah, holla back.
And he's been our intern for a number of episodes here. 70 million episodes, I think. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. You've had fun with him, right, Mr. Frisbee? You guys have grown close?
That's one way of putting it.
You feel me, though?
I feel you, buddy.
Okay.
God damn. Still, 70 million episodes, and he just has, like, the same four lines.
Hey, come on, a lot of people say the same stuff over and over. I always say that I pray to God something will happen. You gonna be mad at me about this?
No, because I know you don't mean it.
Yeah.
Well, John Brown means everything he says.
I mean, this is just what people do, you know? People just, you know, they say a lot of the same stuff over and over.
I'm human, you know, believe it or not.
You know?
Such a robot thing to say. God. But yeah.
Telling your son?
Yeah, we had our beefs when he first came on, but, you know, I haven't grown to love him. I've just grown to drown him out, like any parent would with their disappointing children.
Yeah, that's understandable. You guys' relationship has been tumultuous. But I'm sad to say, you know, I talked to John Brown earlier, and he's leaving the show. This is his last episode as our intern.
Yikes.
And
what made him change his mind?
He got a job. He got a job out in Delaware. And he didn't tell me what he's going to be doing, but he got a job with Randolph. And he's going to be making so much cash that he won't even be able to bend wallets, as I'm sure he would let you know. And so he can't do the show anymore. You know, I mean, he might be back to guest every once in a while, but this is his last episode. And he's very sad about it. He let me know.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, he says he's got to do what he's got to do to excel in his career.
Well, I'm in a network mode right now.
I'm having an empty chairs and empty tables moment. Is he starting a company out there or what?
Ghetto Revival is a company. We base in Brooklyn.
That's impressive.
Ghetto Revival, baby.
I am glad to see you go. I'm not totally saddened by this, but I know you're on to do better things as a robot version of John Brown.
Yeah, so we wish him all the best of luck. This is the last episode. He'll hang out the rest of the episode. But, you know, we've been set up with a new intern who will be joining us next week. I think we're going to call him right now via a phone.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached.
You say, I only hear what I...
Hello.
Hello, it's me, it's Parker from the Pool Party Show. I'm here with Jason Frisbee.
Hey.
This is our new intern starting next week. Right now he's still at his house, but he'll be in studio, live in studio next week. He's the prophet of the Muslim religion. This is Mohammed that we've got. He's going to be joining us. He's going to be on the show from now on.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Mohammed. Thank you for interning.
Yeah, okay. What is your job?
Yeah, I'm a co-host on this podcast. That's my job right now.
Wow, you're great, man.
Right on. I'm glad you're interested in the internship. Do you want to tell me something about yourself, or?
No!
Oh, smashing. We're off to a fantastic start. I feel like you want to be very standoffish.
Wait a minute, dude. You call up here with this whole shit attitude.
Oh, boy. This Muhammad character. I don't know, man. He's already off to a real bad first couple minutes. Well, yeah, I guess we're set with this for the foreseeable future. Muhammad, everyone, the prophet of the Muslim faith, our new intern.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for calling in, Muhammad. We'll see you next week when you get here, all right?
Okay, fine.
All right. Goodbye. See you later.
And to John Brown, if you ever spy on us again and tap my phone calls, then I'm going to destroy you. Just like
throw
that
in. My friends close, my enemies closer.
Well, you're leaving the show, so nice job on that one.
Oh my god.
And now it's time
for the lightning round.
First up on lightning round, in advanced social studies news, it's the end of a tradition for families and schools in Cranston, Rhode Island. There'll be no more father-daughter dances or mother-son events in the city, as the American Civil Liberties Union sent a letter to Cranston School Superintendent Judith Lundstein, behalf of a single mother. The complaint revolved around the woman's daughter being unable to attend a father-daughter dance at the school. This will surely be a heated issue that parents will complain about endlessly but do nothing to rectify. I don't remember going to my father-son dance or my mother-son dances. I don't see why anybody would find this as necessarily a bad thing. The only people that they talk to who say it's a bad thing are all the adults. The adults are the ones who want to dance with their daughters. I'm pretty sure that my school did not have a father-daughter dance, and no one was worse for it. Like, it sounds like something you wouldn't want to attend anyway if you're a kid, you know?
That's true, yeah. This is probably just like a kid going to the ACLU and being like, hey, you know, I know how you guys like to take everyone's fun away, and I really don't want to go to this father-daughter dance, so can you just take it away from everybody so that I don't have to go?
Yeah, it's like, I just hit puberty, my breasts are coming in, my dad is getting real molesty lately, he's looking forward to this father-daughter dance. I keep listening to Aerosmith, Janie's Got a Gun, and I don't want this to escalate, so let's just get rid of the dance, put as much distance between me and him as possible. It's a creep show event, like it's the ultimate creepy dance. How awkward is this for any of the girls?
Yeah,
and they're not talking about it, so imagine it's fairly awkward.
Yeah, it's probably a weird thing for girls. It's probably even worse the like daughters or the mother-son dances.
Yeah. Like, oh God, I can't imagine going to that. I can't imagine like wanting to take my daughter to any of these things if I had a daughter.
Yeah, I would never go to anything like this in a million years. But I mean, I assume that there are some people who like them. I mean, this is kind of like a bummer, like to get rid of this for the people who do like them, for like the few who don't like them or whatever. But then again, like, I mean, you shouldn't be liking this stuff in the first place because it's creep stuff. Like, if you want to have like a father-daughter bonding experience, just go out and like hang out. You don't need to do it in public with everybody looking at you.
Yeah, and why does it have to be a dance? Like, why do you have to be touching intimately and moving to music? Mm-hmm. Like, can you just, I don't know, work on a science project together?
Yeah, don't rub your dicks together.
Exactly. Yeah.
Instead, just get together and talk about the new Twilight movie and how much you like it or dislike it.
And the people who are for it are saying that's like, it promotes a good bond and creates a stronger child in the long run. Like, it's something to look forward to, and I can't imagine that being the case. But I mean, like, I never did anything like this, never had any of these dances, and I'd say I turned out just fine, but, you know, getting drunk on weeknights probably isn't a sign of that, so maybe they're on the ball here.
Yeah, well, this stuff always turned me into, like, more of a dickhead. Like, one time, my mom helped, like, in, like, third grade or something, my mom helped out with field day, you know, which was, like, we had, like, this field day where, like, you know, we would do competitions with the other classes, you know, who can like jump rope the best or fucking dodgeball or whatever it was. My mom helped out one time, and I took that as an excuse to be like, oh, like my mom's here, and so this is basically like more my home life than school, so I'm just gonna act like a dickhead and not do anything, because that's what I do at my house. Like, anytime my mom tells me to do anything, I just don't do it, and I like yell a lot, you know, because I'm 8. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did, you know. Like, I was like, eh, fuck this. I don't have to do anything. My mom's here. Like, this is no longer school. This is normal stuff. So I'd imagine, I mean, it's probably different if you're 15 and going to a dance, but I don't think the parents and school mix. They're two different things.
Yeah, especially this is what you consider to be, like, an integral school activity. I mean, it's a dance, for fuck's sake. Like, how about you do something to raise money for computers to update? It's a weird thing. I would almost imagine this would go along with something like, I don't know, like a church function or something? Whatever.
Yeah. Well, churches don't allow dancing.
Ah, I see. They're all from Footloose.
Yeah.
I think it was also just... They had the clarification that it's a father-daughter dance. But there's... I don't know if there is, like, a mother-son dance or event. They just say it's, like, there's mother-son events. So to be, like, to be kind of misogynistic in saying that, well, the girls will enjoy this dancing thing. Like, why isn't, like, a father-daughter baseball game, you know?
Well, girls don't like baseball. Everybody knows that.
Bazing! Next up on the lightning round. In Bayside wrestling news, 61-year-old Dennis Haskins, otherwise known as Mr. Belling, was serving as host and guest enforcer for a pro wrestling syndicate event called Save by the Ring Bell in New Jersey. Belling not only whooped some ass, he dragged the victim all around the ring and taunted him mercilessly. Probably came out to the ring saying, "Hey, hey, hey, what are you all doing here? What's going on here?
I'll deal with you luchadors later."
There you go. Yeah. There was a masked man there, in fact. And a pink unitard who egged him on.
As is the case in real life. As is everyday scenarios.
I bet Mario Lopez was also there, but did not wrestle. Instead, he just showed off his really lame but passable for the early 90s dance moves, and then performed some sweet drum licks.
Yeah, well, AC's... Yeah, Mario Lopez was probably scheduled to wrestle a girl, and he didn't want to do it, as we'll get to in season... 3 of Saved by the Bell, I think. Or 4, maybe. Very important episode where AC Slater learned not to be sexist and that girls can also be very good wrestlers, even though that never happened once in the history of the world. He learned that lesson.
This show is very gender-forward. Between Screech going into that beauty pageant and this other episode that we'll, you know, surely discuss in the future. Yeah, and all the shows were doing that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were very hip, but I mean, sometimes they did, they placed it in the wrong spot sometimes. Like, if AC Slater was afraid of, like, playing, basketball with a girl, I would believe that. But, the fact that he was afraid to wrestle a girl who wanted to be on the wrestling team seems a little far-fetched, even nowadays, even though we got these, women in the UFC and stuff like this, like, still a little far-fetched. Those girls are basically just models that slap.
Adhere to from this story is that Principal Belding is back on top, baby. Dennis Haskins.
You got that right.
Maybe, he was on. Maybe 61, but man, oh man.
This is the year of Belding. He was on Mad Men. He's wrestling. This is his year. He's prime for a comeback.
How do you go from being on Mad Men to doing this?
Well, it was a very small part on Mad Men.
Did he deliver the mail? Or did he have a speaking line?
Nah, well, you know those guys who, like, work at the ad agency and they're, like, kind of nerds? He let them know that he would deal with them at a later time.
Good for him.
Yeah.
He really knows how to deliver that line. In gotcha news, a Pakistani protester has died after inhaling smoke from burning U.S. flags during a rally against the anti-Islam film Innocence of Muslims. Abdullah Islami died in Mayo Hospital in Lahore, having complained of feeling unwell during angry demonstrations in the eastern Pakistan city yesterday. So this will go down in infamy along with smoking banana peels and doing vodka eyeball shots as something that will get you really high really fast.
Yeah, you get super high from smoking that flag.
This so high.
This made me think, like, you know, obviously this is like sort of like an ironic sort of like Greek tragedy, ending for this guy.
Right.
But why is it that countries don't fill their flags with, like, cyanide or some other sort of chemical to where if somebody burns them, then they die? Like, it seems like that would be a no-brainer. Like, if you're trying to stop hippies from burning your flag, or if you're trying to stop, you know, countries who oppose you from burning your flag, just fill it full of stuff that kills people.
I think that's a major takeaway from this, is that in that sort of Greek tragedy sense, like, even the U.S. flag is just the perfect representation of the country because it's poorly made and can somehow also be used as a chemical weapon.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, it comes around. It's very, very interesting to me.
Like, where did these guys who burn these American flags in these foreign countries, where are they getting all these flags? Like, is there, like, some sweet shop that, like, just sells American flags and, like, this guy's making, like, a shit ton of money from all the people who buy flags just to burn them?
Yeah, it wasn't just the embassy flag. They mentioned plural, that there were plenty of flags being burned.
Yeah, anytime I look at the news, like, there's people just burning, like, dozens and dozens of flags.
And they're wearing English-speaking shirts, too.
Yeah.
Like, graphic tees. It's a weird... Yeah, it's...
They're all wearing that Shelby Cobra's t-shirt.
It's a beautiful shirt. Very lovely.
Yeah.
Soft on the skin.
Yeah, it seems like a weird thing. Like, in all these, you know, in, like, Cairo and all these cities, like, is there just, like, some little tiny, like, American mom-and-pop store where, like, some old Southern guy is, like, just got the store that he's always had in his family for some reason. Like, just some old Southern American couple selling these flags to people so that they can burn them.
Yeah, the owners call each other mother and father, respectively.
Yeah.
We're okay, mother. Looks like we had another protest going for the Innocence of Muslim film.
Yeah, it's like that shop that they ran into in the Cabin Fever movie. Just some kindly old Southerners.
Yep, just selling flags.
Yep, they've been selling that. They opened that store in 1905, and they're not giving it up for nothing, no matter who moves into the neighborhood.
We sell flags from around the world, but the U.S. is our biggest seller. These flags were made in China. Let's see. Hafiz Muhammad Saeed, head of the Jamaatud Dawah organization, one of the largest and most active militant Islamist groups in South Asia, claimed that the film Innocence of Muslims had been produced with the backing of the U.S. establishment. This, of course, isn't true. It's a privately made film. He said director Nakula, Basilev Nakula, and others involved in its production and release must be hanged, which seems like a reasonable and pious response to like a very nonviolent action of making a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the Express Tribune, he told protesters that the U.S. must make a law against blasphemy, or we will not let the U.S. Consulates in Pakistan function. And another sensible request that shows an obvious and clear understanding of the U.S. separation of church and state and freedom of expression. So, yeah, it's nice to know that religious leaders are basically like internet YouTube comment trolls who just like, who function primarily on reactionary, incendiary comments and outlandish propositions.
Yeah, it's like, they're very similar to the YouTube trolls, except like, you know how like sometimes if a YouTube comment gets too many like downvotes, it gets taken away and it says like, this comment is no longer available due to too many downvotes. In this scenario, it would say, this comment is no longer available because this user was burned alive and dragged through the streets.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not to say that Westboro Baptist Church is any better. I think what I'm saying is that...
They're not killing anybody, so they're better. They are better.
Yeah, but at least that there's, you know, amongst the religious leaders, no matter where you are in the world, they can all be real crazy. So that's good to know.
That they can. The killing, though, is the most crazy part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like shooting a missile into a building because they're upset over a film. You know, I mean, there might be a line that's been crossed. I don't know. Who am I to say? And last but not least, round, this is in pool party danger news. Mm. The pool at the Sunset Park party, hosted by Unicorn Meat NYC, was filled with glow-in-the-dark water, which left two party attendees with permanent vision impairment. The event, called Return to the Bubble Kingdom, which is a fucking stupid name for a party, took place on August 4th, and according to the Facebook page, was scheduled to run from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. VIP tickets cost around $90.
Go back to the 90s, faggots!
Absolutely. Like, if you're still going to raves in 2012 and paying $90 to do so, then I think permanent vision impairment is the least of your problems. So You're in New York. Like, why are you going to a rave? You go to, like, any rooftop party or apartment party, and you think that glowing liquid is somehow okay to wade in.
Yeah, man. Like, if you're hanging out and you're like, hey, man, this glowing liquid here that is, in an empty warehouse in Brooklyn, this glowing liquid, let's get in there. Then you're fucking stupid, and you deserve what you get. There's never been any time in the history of the world where, like, getting into glowing water has helped anybody. Or at least, not even helped them, but not, there's never been a time where they escaped, with their eyesight. Or with sperm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously these people did not watch the season finale of Game of Thrones. So there's a whole lot of glowing water, and it exploded.
That's true. It's
a telltale sign to just get away. So yeah, I mean, if you have vision impairment because of this, then that's okay, because you are not be missing anything in life. Like,
yeah, I mean, I guess there was the off chance that they thought that they would become the Toxic Avenger, but those chances are slim, man. Real slim.
That's true. They're remaking that, correct?
Yeah, with John Travolta.
Ooh, so I'm not going to see it, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, there is that's the only reason to go into glowing liquid. And that's probably a way better case that they could create against this. Like, we jumped into this toxic-looking liquid, and we did not become Toxic Avengers. We demand our money back.
Yeah, then, like, man, if you're going into some glowing water, at least just, you know, just wade around. Just let it get up, you know, just stand up in it or something. Like, there's no need to go underwater and open your eyes and look around. I mean, this isn't the coral reef. I mean, this is water that obviously has toxins in it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you would not do this in a river, so why would you do it here?
Yeah.
Like, it's not your bathtub. That's not chlorine. Please stop. Stop doing this to yourself.
And yeah, they tell you not to open your eyes in the pool because of the chlorine, and chlorine doesn't even glow. Jeez,
yeah.
Pete, these ravers, they're silly.
Well, at least that hasn't changed. At least ravers are still silly.
That's true. So the more things change, the more they stay the same.
You said it. That's the end of the lightning round.
So that's the end of the show. I would, I really want to thank the prophet of the Muslim religion, Muhammad, for calling in and being our new intern. He'll be here next week in a full capacity, so there'll be much more of him. And I want to, you know, especially thank John Brown for being with us all these episodes and really helping us out, being our intern. I also want to thank Mr. Frisbee for being the co-host.
Thank you. I would like to extend my thanks to John Brown for leading the show. You will not be missed by me. I find you to be abhorrible. I can't believe you spied on me. It was terrible. And you say the same things again and again and again. But it doesn't look like Muhammad's any better, so I'll miss you in that regard.
Man, you bummy as hell.
Get with it, man. It's quite the side for a robot. He's like General Grievous from episode 2.
You're making him upset.
Yeah, did I make you upset by comparing you to General Grievous?
It screws up the vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, sir.
Okay.
See, that's all it took. Yeah. We're on good terms now.
Yeah, you guys are good now. Go to poolpartyradio.com and check out our episodes and check out links, to our iTunes, where you can leave us reviews and stuff and comments. We like those. They help us out. Things of that nature. They're, like, super appreciated. This show, like I said, is basically an engine that runs off of the comments and reviews on iTunes and the comments and likes on the Facebook page, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. And, of course, the emails we get at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. Those are the things that fuel this show along. We get no money. We're not getting any free cars. We're not getting chicks. So
we're not getting no fancy planes, mm-mm. No stretch limos. We're not in the biggest house on the best side of town, mm-hmm. On the biggest hill.
We don't get any Delaware tax refunds. We get nothing. So those are the things that keep us going. And So, yeah, find us on iTunes, subscribe. You'll get, you know, the podcast right to you without having to push a button every week. Or find us on Stitcher, which I've really taken to listening to things on Stitcher lately. I think it's fun. And so we're on there. And you can also follow us on the Twitter at Pool Party Radio. You can follow Mr. Frisbee at Jason Frisbee.
And you can follow Parker at Parker Arizona.
Yeah, for now. I've really been amping up my fight against Ultimate Parker, who has the name that I really want, since it's my email address and my Facebook fucking name and everything like this. But I learned recently that Dictionary.com told me that Ultimate is like a synonym for final. So I might maybe change my name to Final Parker on Twitter, because that sounds really cool, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like Final Fight.
Yeah, like, I mean, how cool would it be to be the Final Parker? I would feel like, you know, it's like a Richard Matheson novel.
Yeah. The Omega Parker.
Yeah. So I think I might do that tonight. I've really been mulling this about for the last two goddamn years. So maybe I'll finally change my name. As I don't live in Arizona, I'm not from Arizona. What are you going to do?
Change the name.
Got to change that name. Yeah, so all right, so that's everything. This is Parker for Jason Razor Babes and John Brown saying, fuck you, Chelios, and I'll let you have the last word, Robo John Brown.
Hallelujah, holla back, little homie.
Universal Studios. When I get there, they're going to take me on my very first ever roller coaster ride, so I'll be able to get on all the great rides and have a per month for 5 short months. Would you be interested in helping me get onto my very first roller coaster ride?
I would love to help you, but I'm too poor right now.
Oh, is that right? Dang it. Well, all of this for you, so there is 3 ways you can help. Like, you can pay for help out. You can donate, too. Anything would help. You got pennies, quarters, dimes, and nickels. I'm really trying my hardest to win this trip, sir. I'd really like to earn myself this trip.
I appreciate that, but I really got none at the moment.
No, okay, well, appreciate that, sir. By any chance, were you going to read that newspaper? I actually only got 2 more left. Yeah. Were you going to read it?
Oh, fine. Okay. Did your cat run away?
Yeah.
We'll try.
Okay. Thank you, sir. You have a good day.
Yep. Come on, Kevin.
All right, you there?